Going to heaven isn't just a one-way trip. Here's Skip Heitzig to explain.
There were two Christians that were talking, and one said, I have a one-way ticket to glory, and I don't intend to come back here. The other person says, you're going to miss a lot then. He says, I have a return ticket. I'm going to go meet the Lord in glory, but then come back to rule and reign with Jesus Christ upon the earth. And really, that's the biblical viewpoint.
Make the connection.
Think of the best vacation you've ever been on. Whether it was a cruise or a trip to the tropics, traveling through Europe, or even an extended stay at Disney World. Whatever it was, take some time to remember how wonderful that was. It was great, wasn't it? Well, it's too bad it had to end, though. And it's too bad our memories of that wonderful time fade so rapidly. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig tells us about a vacation to paradise that will never end. But before we tell you about that, we wanted to share with you an email note we recently received from Deborah. And she says, I attended services in Albuquerque and received Christ as my Savior there just before I moved away. Pastor Skip's sermons were very inspiring to a non-believer. The Lord moved me to a church where I really began to learn and develop my skills He has given me, and I hope to move on soon to a mission field overseas. As I thought about having to give up listening to the sermons, it was enough to make me stop. And then I was led to this site and an online connection with someone I highly respect. Now, of course, I can go anywhere. Isn't that amazing? Well, Deborah, all the best to you as you seek the Lord's path for your life, and however you get the connection, online or radio or whatever, thanks for listening today. We'd love to hear from you as well with a praise report, a testimony, or a prayer request. Just drop us a line at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. The best vacation you've ever been on doesn't even begin to compare to the bliss that awaits us when Jesus returns to restore paradise to this world. However, if you want to be included in that, like any vacation, you have to prepare properly. We'll find out how to do that in today's study.
And make the connection.
Skip Heitzig continues our study today in Revelation chapter 20. So open your Bibles and let's join him for today's study.
God created the earth and it's broke. And God knows how to fix it when it's broke. And God will do that in the millennium. Secondly, the millennium is needed to fulfill all of God's promises to Israel. God promised David, 2 Samuel 7, a perpetual throne that can only be fulfilled in Messiah. He reiterated that promise and confirmed it with an oath in Psalm 89. The kingdom is predicted in the Psalms, in virtually all of the prophets, major prophets and minor prophets, that there would be an earthly kingdom as well as a heavenly kingdom. And the millennium is phase one to God's promises. There will be an earthly kingdom. It'll last 1,000 years. At the end of that time, the earth will be destroyed. God will create a new heaven. We'll read about it in chapter 21. And a new earth, because now all of the promises to the nation of Israel are fulfilled. And the earth, though restored, is still tainted by sin and must be recreated. And we'll see that. Thirdly, the millennium will reveal the depths of man's rebellious nature. You know how many people have for years said something like this? Well, we're just a product of our environment. Thus, if we had a perfect environment, we'd be perfect people. And that's not the problem. The problem is not on the outside of man. The problem is on the sinful nature of man. And the millennium will prove that because they're going to have a perfect environment. But though we're going to be there redeemed in redeemed bodies after these earthly bodies are shed, there will be people at the end of the tribulation who get into the millennium. God isn't going to kill all of the saints who have survived up to that point. They'll go into the millennium. They'll have children. The Bible says in Isaiah that during that age, those that die at 100 years old will be considered infants in their death. So the longevity of man will be restored, which means the reproductivity of the earth will be greatly increased like we've never known it before. And there will be some people who will volitionally follow the Messiah under his reign, and some who will still rebel. And when Satan is released after 1,000 years, he will gather up all those rebellious ones for one final rebellion. We'll get more into that next time. But it all goes to show you, you can take a person out of the slums, but the slums can still be inside the person. Man has a sinful nature and is not the product of his environment necessarily, is not innocent and corrupted by what's around him. He has a corrupt nature. So that is the time, 1,000 years. The time is revealed. Secondly, the terrain is restored. Now, by reading Revelation 20, you wouldn't get all of this because this is a summary statement of the millennium. This is a chronology. Jesus will return to the earth. He will bind Satan. The saints will reign. There will be a resurrection. Then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. This is simply limited information that is given to us in a few verses. And if we were to deal with all of the places the Bible speaks about this kingdom, we'd be in it for months and months and months and months. I know we already have, but I'm saying just the millennium. We'd be dealing with so many texts of scriptures. But basically, there will be a renovation of the earth. It'll be restored. It will go back to almost its original glory when God first created it. Now, that's good news. The environmentalists are on alert, right? You know, we've trashed the planet. Look what man has done. And we've told you before, if you think we've messed it up, wait till you see what Jesus does with it in the tribulation. I mean, he really will mess it up. He will trash it. He made it. He will destroy it up to a point with great cataclysms. But then in the millennium, he will restore its beauty. And there are so many beautiful text promises of scriptures as to what the earth, the terrain, the environment will be like. God will make his environment perfect and holy and peaceful. Let me give you a few scriptures, and this is just a small sample, a small smattering. First of all, the animal kingdom will be tamed. Isaiah chapter 11, and I'm reading this in the New Living Translation because of its color. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. The leopard and the goat will be at peace. Calves and yearlings will be safe among lions, and a little child will lead them all. The cattle will graze among the bears. Cubs and calves will lie down together. Lions will eat grass as the livestock do. Babies will crawl safely among poisonous snakes. Yes, a little child will put its hand into the nest of deadly snakes and pull it out unharmed. In other words, the curse is removed. Honey, have you seen Junior? Oh, he's just out playing with the snakes. Oh, okay. No need for zoos, animal parks, cages. I mean, I look at my dog and cat. It would be a wonder if they got along. But all of the earth will be tame. When I was in Kenya, and we were sitting in a four-wheel drive, we drove out into this open plain, and we found a lioness crouched under a tree. And we drove up about 15, 10 feet away from this lioness. And the guy said, keep your window up. Don't roll it down. Don't stick your head out with your camera. Don't get out. Stay put. This is not the millennium. Secondly, the entire biosphere of the earth will be lush. And this is good news, especially those of us who live in the deserts. Isaiah chapter 35 says, even the wilderness will rejoice in those days. The desert will blossom with flowers. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel's pastures and the plain of Sharon. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the desert. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where the desert jackals once lived. Awesome. You don't have to worry about the aquifer being depleted. You can't water your grass. It'll be lush. Three, there will be the healing of disabilities. Isaiah 35 says, when he comes, the Lord will open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf, the lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will shout and sing. Jesus showed that in his first coming. He will really show it in his second coming. Perpetual health, no aches, no pains, no HMOs, no doctors, no Advil. Number four, there will be longevity and health. Isaiah 65 tells us, never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. No need for facelifts, face creams, longevity magazine. You'll be there. Long life. Of course, you, in your redeemed state, glorified state, not having the flesh, this really pertains to those during the kingdom age who are in their physical bodies before the resurrection. Then, in fifth, there will finally be world peace. Finally be world peace. You know, Gallup organization did a poll a few years back, and they said, what are the biggest concerns of Americans? If you could ask God one question, what would it be? Fourth on the list, when will there ever be lasting world peace? Answer, at the millennium, not before. Isaiah chapter 2 tells us, the Lord will settle international disputes. All the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop and military training will come to an end. Did you know that that verse is displayed today over the doors of the United Nations? That's what they're hoping for, but that will never happen until Jesus takes over what he made. And when he does, and when the word goes forth, Isaiah 2, from Jerusalem, from Zion, then they will beat their swords into plowshares. This is paradise regained, and if you belong to Jesus Christ, that's what you have to look forward to. Paradise regained on the earth for 1,000 years with your Messiah, your Jesus, your Savior. There were two Christians that were talking, and one said, I have a one-way ticket to glory, and I don't intend to come back here. The other person says, you're going to miss a lot then. He says, I have a return ticket. I'm going to go meet the Lord in glory, but then come back to rule and reign with Jesus Christ upon the earth. And then really, that's the biblical viewpoint. Three, and this really speaks to these verses this morning, the troublemaker is removed. Let's read the first three verses, just so we can at least say we did it. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss, the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations any longer till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Now, it's pretty obvious, right? This has to happen for there to be a millennium. How could there be a kingdom age for 1,000 years if Satan's running around loose on the landscape? You can't have utopia. And all the peace now groups that say, we're going to bring in peace. I mean, I'm all for working for peace, but it's never going to happen eternally until the troublemaker is removed. And here he is removed. He is bound. Well, this is one reason I take it literally. And not figuratively, because during this time of the kingdom, where is Satan? He's out of the picture. And that's the point. If we're in the kingdom now, then Satan has got to be bound. I don't think so. Do you? You say, well, he was chained at the cross. Well, he's got a long chain then. Terribly long chain. I don't consider that being bound in the sense that we read about it here. Peter said, your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may gobble up. Loose translation for devour. We wage spiritual warfare until then. He's not bound yet. Notice about this event, this removal of Satan. It says an angel laid hold on the dragon. This has got to be a great moment for that angel. If that angel knows who he is today, I'm sure he's just thinking, I can't wait till I get to go up and just grab that booger by the scruff of the neck and bind him for 1,000 years. It shows us that Satan's power at this time will have been greatly diminished if an angel, a messenger of God, can perform this task. It's not Jesus. It's not identified as such in this text anyway. But an angel, an ordinary angel, becomes his jailer and leads him captive. This is Satan's day of humbling for 1,000 years as he is removed from the earth. And that's going to have to dramatically change the earth. There's no demonic philosophies anymore, no demonic ideologies any longer, and false religions. He is out of the picture. And that is what makes way for the millennium. He thought at one time he was the top of the heap, right? Isaiah 14 says, the devil said, I will ascend, I will exalt my throne, and I will sit on the throne. I will be like the Most High. God's reply, you will be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And here he is bound. Now, the word pit, you have read already in Revelation. If you've been with us, you remember in chapter 9, it's the abyss, same word, abyssos. It's a place of incarceration. It is not hell. He'll be cast into hell and tormented later. This is a temporary place of incarceration. Remember in Luke chapter 8, the demons, when they saw Jesus, begged him not to cast them into the abyss. Don't let us be incarcerated. We want to be free. And for the life of me, I don't know why Jesus granted their request, but they were cast into swine and they died at that point. Earlier, we saw demon forces, Revelation 9, come out of the pit and cover the earth during the tribulation. Satan is king over them, it says in Revelation 9. He's the king of those of the abyss. Here, this is the cool part. He's not the king. He's the chief victim. And you'll see that when he's later cast into hell. It's not like he's got a pitchfork and horns and fire and a little tail and he's tormenting people, sticking them. He will be the chief tormented one, not the tormentor. He'll be the chief victim. And here he's the incarcerated one. We're going to cover more next week in this chapter. But I wanted to lay a foundation of the millennium. And I want to end with a couple of points to make it practical that we can take home and that can change the way we live, the way we think, the way we do business, the way we raise our families. 2 points to come out from this. Number one, the kingdom that will come should motivate us now. Knowing there is a coming kingdom, we ought to be watchful. Jesus said that over and over and over again. Be watchful in the way you live. There is a coming kingdom. Man may rule presently, but not ultimately. Ultimately, God is sovereign and moves man like pawns on a chessboard and will perform his pleasure all throughout history, ultimately. When Nikita Khrushchev was in power in the former Soviet Union, he said that he promised that he would display the last Soviet Christian on public television. He would eradicate Christianity and show the last one by 1965. Well, we know that Nikita passed from the scene and has stood before the judgment bar of God to give account of his own life, and his promise has not been fulfilled. In fact, Christianity has been shown to flourish in some areas of the former Soviet Union as God gets his kingdom out. All earthly kingdoms are temporary. What does that mean? Don't invest in them. Invest in your eternal kingdom. Lay up treasures in heaven, the Bible says. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and all these things will be added to you. So if this is temporary and God's kingdom is eternal, let's think about that one. Stay involved in your world, but live for the next one. Second lesson, Satan will be chained, but he's not yet, so be careful. It says that he is like a roaring lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. Be careful. Paul said we are not ignorant of his devices. I hope that's true of you. I hope you're careful in the way you see things happening in your life, that you're aware that you have an enemy. And could it be that Satan has pulled the wool over some of your eyes? So though you're coming to church, the whole idea of eternity doesn't really mean much to you. You're living your life in such a way that it's obvious you don't care about standing before God and facing eternity with or without Christ. And that would be very, very tragic, because Satan is the father of lies. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And Satan comes, Jesus said, to kill, to steal, to destroy. Jesus said, I want to give you life and give it more abundantly. And some of you are here today just because you admit, I've got a longing in my heart. I've got a hunger in my life. There's got to be something more to life than I've already experienced. What could that be? Where could I find it? C.S. Lewis, the great scholar from Cambridge, said, if I find myself having a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. You were. Bingo. You were made for another world. God created this world to be inhabited by you. But God will create his kingdom. He'll restore the earth to its former glory, and then he'll create the new heaven and new earth. That's God's intention. And that the reason you have that hole in your life, that void in your life, is that Jesus Christ, whose kingdom this will be, made you for a purpose, to know him, to walk with him, to love him, to serve him. And you'll be empty. You'll be filled with a big hole and void until Jesus Christ comes and fill it, because you were made for another world. His kingdom, not this kingdom.
So would you like to discover the world you were meant for? Would you like to finally fill that void in your life and make the emptiness go away? You were meant to live for so much more, and Jesus Christ will help you find that out. If you'd like to know more about how you can find answers and be free from the emptiness within you, give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. We'll tell you exactly how you can begin a new life with Christ. That's all the time we have for today. But before we go, the occult is on the rise, not just in our nation, but around the world. So what does that mean for us as a nation and as Christians? Find out with this month's offer.
Vampires, Wicca, and white magic are everywhere in the media, and not just at Halloween. Really now, is there such a thing as a nice witch? Not according to Steve Russo.
Wicca is a self-styled religion. You might call it a buffet religion, where there is no definitive answer to this is Wicca because of it being self-styled. What people do is they take a little bit from Christianity, they take a little bit from Hinduism, Buddhism. They make up their own religion. It is, in its essence, it really comes down to the worship of yourself, because you define and design your own deities.
America is being slowly and successfully seduced by the occult, and you need to know how to handle it in your family.
We know, as Jesus followers, as those who have made that decision to live their life for and like Jesus, the power we need is in the resurrected Christ. And what's happening is kids are looking and they're not finding reality. They're looking in the church. And that's not to say there aren't those who are living, you know, amazing lives as followers of Christ in the church, but kids aren't connecting with a lot of them.
Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, gives a blunt and practical approach to understanding the agenda of evil.
From what I have seen, Wicca is the fastest growing religion among high school students and college students in North America. And we have got kids in the church who are delving into Wicca. And part of that has to do with the whole experiential side of this generation, because this generation is all about experience.
The allure of movements like Wicca and the fascination with the power of witches and vampires is a disturbing trend the church can't ignore. Get informed and learn what you can do when you order Fear No Evil for just $15 by calling 1-800-922-1888 or at connectionradio.org.
Well, that just might make a great gift item for someone you know this month. So find out more at our Connection Resource Center. That's at connectionradio.org or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. We also want to make sure you get a copy of today's teaching when you contact us. It's available for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888. 1888. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you a free bonus teaching from Skip called God is Not a Swear Word. This teaching is absolutely free to anyone who contacts us for the first time today. So get your copy by giving us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or by writing The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Believe it or not, one day evil will be completely defeated once and for all. So join us next time to learn more about the devil's last stand. On The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.